church, just lift the Lord's name on high. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Sing through you, through you. I can do anything, I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open, yes, strongholds are broken. Deep down, deep down, I know that you're here with me, and I know that you can do anything through you, I can do anything, yes, I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Put your hands together and worship that name of Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, sing. I believe, I believe.
I believe, I believe. I believe, I believe in you. I believe, I believe. I believe, I believe.
With everything you got.
I believe, I believe.
Come on, let's lift up our hands right now. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, God Almighty. Yes, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, God, there is an excellent presence in this house right now. Oh, Lord Jesus. I honestly believe this place could turn into a house of worship if we just let ourselves go right now. Going to go ahead and move forward in prayer at this time. Keep all those that are away for the holiday weekend up. Keep Pastor and all those that are going to Ukraine this Tuesday up in prayer as well. I want to bring forth to you a passage, Luke 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. I'm not going to read all of it. Basically, when Jesus went through the desert, through Samaria and Galilee, came across the village of people, and of that village, 10 lepers came out. We all know the story. Those 10 lepers were healed, but the one stayed, worshiped. Were there not 10 cleansed, but were there? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. You can be made whole today. You just need to worship. You need to step out in faith. Believe that God can do it. Whatever the situation you have going on right now, God can heal you completely. Those lepers, they walked away. They still had the scars. But the one that stayed had nothing left. He was made as if he was just born again. Can we go ahead and go forth right now and believe that God can make you whole today? I am speaking faith unto this house right now. Let's just go ahead and pray right now, Lord Jesus, God Almighty. We pray, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that you can do transformation in this house right now, that you can make us whole, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, that no scars of the past be brought upon us, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, that we can step out of this house right now, Lord God, that you can transform us, Lord Jesus, make us whole again. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, we pray, Lord God, for all those that are going on this journey, Lord Jesus, over to Ukraine, Lord God, that you keep them safe right now, Lord God, that you keep them in your arms, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that you have a word for them, Lord God, as they go over, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that they continue to be a blessing upon those people, Lord Jesus, God Almighty. Let them bring faith, Lord Jesus, with them, Lord God. We pray, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that your spirit bring down in this house, Lord God, that you spread beyond these four walls, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We pray, Lord God, that you continue your marvelous works, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray right now, hallelujah.
I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm down then. I'll praise when I number, praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. 'Cause praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Yes, we praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, we praise. Praise. quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I sing out praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Yes, we pray. Praise the Lord, oh yes, Lord, we praise. Won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
Oh yes, I won't be quiet. Amen, amen, amen. It's good to see everybody this afternoon. You can make your way back to your seats. We do praise the Lord. With everything that's in us, we give God praise. He's been good to each and every one of us, and this is a house of God, and we are here to give him praise. We are going to enter into a time of giving of our tithes and our offerings. I'm not a preacher that belabors points about giving, because I believe that when your heart gets right, God will speak to you about your giving. In the Old Testament, when they laid out the plans of what God wanted to use for the tabernacle, the Bible says that the man of God asked those that were of a willing heart to give of the things that they needed for the tabernacle. And they collected so many things that only the first time, and I think it's the last time in Scripture, where they were instructed to stop giving because they gave so much that they gave more than what they needed. Now, I'm not up here to beg for your money, but I'm here to tell you something. I'm here to tell you the thing that you may be asking God for, the thing that you're going to God in prayer about, that family member that you're praying for, could be the answer to that prayer, could be on the other side of your giving. There's an old song that the Crab family used to sing. I woke up this morning and there was no hearse at my door. I know as my age, I'm not worried about the hearse yet, but I've done enough funerals to know that I've never done a funeral when we walked out into the parking lot where that hearse was pulling a trailer and bringing all of the things and all of the items and all of the hobbies and all the things that we collected. We are going to go back to the earth from which we came, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And we're not taking any of our money. We're not taking any of our possessions with us. But there is one thing that we can take from this life that we didn't bring into it, and that is God's Spirit. So I'm going to ask you, as we pray over this offering, I'm going to ask you, and I know sometimes people don't like to do this. I just did this at men's conference, and I'll give you my testimony. I was sitting at men's conference, and they were taking the offering, and I thought the guy was kind of belaboring the point, probably like some of you think I'm doing right now. And the man said, we're going to pray over this offering, and I want you to pray specifically, God, what do you want me to give? And I did that. I prayed those words. I said, God, what do you want me to give? And God spoke a number into my mind that was more than what I had in my hand. I already had my folded up in my hand. And I went, ah! I had already had that other money spent. I already knew my wife wasn't with me. I was going to go to a restaurant. I was going to eat as much as I wanted, the way I wanted. I was going to get dessert. And the Lord said, I want you to put this amount in. And I was in the valley of decision. So I opened my eyes. I pulled open my wallet during the prayer, and I took out that money and I gave it. Now, you want me to give you a testimony that God blessed me, and then I hit the lottery on the way home, and now I've got $14 million. That didn't happen. What I did was I was obedient to God. The Bible says, give, and I'll give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. So I'm going to ask you. I can't make you do anything. I want you to stand to your feet with me. We're going to say a prayer, and in this prayer, I want you to say the words, God, what would you have me to give? And then I want you to be obedient to what he says, and then we're going to move forward in the service. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, God, we appreciate you. We love you, God. You're good to us. We're thankful for this opportunity to be in this house, Lord, with this people, to feel your presence, God. We ask you right now to put your hand of anointing upon this offering, God. You know what we need to do, Lord. We ask you right now, God, to speak to our hearts and our minds what you would have us to give, Lord. Then help us to walk in that obedience, Lord, to do your will, God, because we're trying to please you and trying to lift up your kingdom, God. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for all your blessings that you bestowed upon us, and we just ask you to be with us in the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can march at this time with these two handsome gentlemen up front, and then we have Amber in the back for electronic giving. Let's worship and praise the Lord in this house this day.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He stopped me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought me to the victory.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior.
Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Go ahead and worship the Lord. Victory in Jesus. Go ahead. Some of you made more noise yesterday over a victory in a college football game that didn't mount to a hill of beans. Give the Lord some praise. Has God blessed your life? Are you victorious? Then act like we've won. Give Him praise like we've won. Shout like we've won. Dance like we've won. Jesus is greater than the Buckeyes. Let him know that you appreciate him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can be seated this afternoon. Before I get started, I do want to thank. It's good to see many of our Ashtabula members beginning to be ingratiated and get involved in the service. I'm not going to name everybody, but for those of you that are watching and those of you that are here, you see we have some of our members starting to join into the worship team. Our sound and our video, our media is being run by Ashtabula today. Our greeters are becoming Ashtabula. Last week we let Brother Ty take up the offering. We are on a path where we are going to try to stand on our own 2 feet. So if you are a member of this church, I'm not saying that you come and support us. If you do, I appreciate it. But if you call this your home church, we want you to decide to get involved with what is going on. And if you would like to be used in any area, I want you to come see me. Have a conversation with me. There's more work than we have laborers, but I'm excited about what God is doing, and it's good to see them doing the work. It's good to see everybody here this afternoon, especially on a holiday weekend. I know many of you have plans, maybe later today and tomorrow. And if any of you today, if any of you complained about our weather in any way, if you woke up this morning and said, it's too cold to be this cold at the beginning of August, I want you to repent of your sins before you leave this place. If you think it's too hot outside today, I want you to repent of your sins. If you don't like that big, shiny ball that's up in the sky called the sun and the blue skies and the clouds, I want you to repent of your sins before you leave this place. Because there's only ever been one man that's ever lived that was perfect. His name was Jesus, and he's in control of this. And he decided this Labor Day weekend to bless us with perfect weather. Can I get one amen? Can I get one oh me? Good, good. That's good. We're all on the same page. I don't want to take a lot of time today. I'm going to dismiss the classes. They're going downstairs. They do a special thing when we have 5 Sundays. The 5th Sunday, they do what they call Super Church. So how many of you were here last week? How many remember during the service we heard a very loud bang with a child that ran directly into the wall? I would say prepare yourself because they've got some things planned. We'll probably hear some more banging this afternoon. I don't know what their plans are, but they're excited, so I want to let them go down right now. And I would be remiss if I didn't say it, but I am extremely happy and kind of nervous today because my son and my daughter-in-law are with us and my granddaughter, Olivia. And I'm so happy that they are here with us in service today. I have a message that I want to talk to you about. It's going to be a little bit different than what I normally, the way I normally preach. I want to teach some things this afternoon. I don't want to hold you very long because, like I said, I know many people have plans today and tomorrow. And just let me say, I hope you enjoy your family. That's what God gave them to us for. As much as they get on our nerves and they drive us crazy, when we have a chance to get together and enjoy one another, we ought to take advantage of that. And today and tomorrow, take advantage of it full-heartedly. It's a national holiday. Enjoy yourself. Have a big couple hot dogs and just have a good time for Labor Day this weekend. But if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read a very familiar portion of Scripture in your hearing and probably take it in a little bit different direction than what you may think as soon as I start reading it and what you're used to. But we'll start reading in Luke chapter 5, start reading at verse 4. When you have Luke chapter 5, you can say amen. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow with us along on the screens. Luke 5 and 4 says this, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I want to read verse 10 one more time. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I want to speak to you for a few moments this afternoon on this thought. Fishing where the fish are. Fishing where the fish are. Thank you for standing. You can be seated this afternoon in Jesus' name. How many in here today have ever gone fishing, or you call yourself a fisherman or a fisherwoman? You like to fish, by a showing of hands. How many of you don't like to fish? Again, repent of your sins after church. Fishing may be the greatest activity that was ever created. Now I'm getting some looks. I love to fish. I'm not very good at it. I've gone a couple times since we've moved to Ashtabula with Brother Jim, Sister Pat's husband from Jefferson. We've gone out in the boat, and I haven't caught a single thing. He has. I haven't. I always claim that it's because he has the depth finder where he is and puts himself right over top of the fish and leaves me out in the dry. But that's not it. I just love fishing. But I want to talk to you about fishing where the fish are. And I want to make a point, and I want to get to it very quickly. Our mission when we come to live for God is to catch men. It's to win souls. It's to disciple people. It is to introduce the world to Jesus and take them from where they are in their sins to where they can call heaven their home when they leave this life. That is our mission. Our mission is not to build exorbitant cathedrals and to have all kinds of money and to put robes on our choir and to have the best that this world has to offer. There's nothing wrong with those things. But our mission is to catch men, and that can be women as well. God did not call you and give you the Holy Ghost to sit on a pew and just occupy till he comes. He gave you the gift of the Holy Ghost so that you could win souls, that you could disciple souls, that you could teach Bible studies, that you could speak into the lives of people and get them to go from where they are to where they want to be. We are all called to be fishers of men. We are called to win souls. The Bible said, from this point forward, Simon, you are going to catch men. Now, I'm going to give you three scripture references real quick to pull it, because the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Turn with me to Proverbs 11 and 30. Do you have these, Carl? Let's go real quick. Proverbs 11 and 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We are called to win souls. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Your witness, your lifestyle, your influence should cause people that you come into contact with to want to understand what it is that you have. Just the way that you conduct yourself, people should say, you know what? I don't know anything about so-and-so, but I want what they have. Whatever it is that they have, when they go through things, they don't conduct themselves like everybody else. When they're up against it, they have a little something that I don't have. What is it that they have? The Bible says that they turn many to righteousness. People should want to live for God because of your example. And then the last one is Matthew 4:19, which I've already kind of quoted, that says, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So I've made my point. We are called to be fishers of men. But let's keep in mind the title of what I want to talk to you about is fishing where the fish are. Now, how many in here would call yourself a good fisherman? All right, come here. This is the best fisherman in the house, okay? He, besides me. But you know all the tricks. Yeah. You know all the tips. Yeah. You got the tackle. All the tackle you need. You got the license. Okay, you got to have the license. You got the equipment.
Yes.
You got the poles.
Go.
You got a boat.
A small boat, yes.
All right. You got everything you need. Yeah. All right. He's got everything he needs. Catch a fish.
There. There's no fish over there. I can't.
There's no fish over there. That's what people say when they ain't good at fishing. Catch a fish.
I can't. There's no fish there.
Correct. Thank you. I don't care how skilled you are. I don't care how much equipment you have. I don't care how much experience you have. I don't care how much know-how you have. You know, the people that are like, I don't need a fish finder. I got years of it. I know their patterns. I know this. I know that. I know you're hungry when you go fishing because you don't catch nothing. But I don't care who you are. I don't care how talented you are. If you cast your line right over in this area and you pop a popper, or you work a jig, or you have a Texas rig up, or you put it on a dipsy diver and you let it go down real deep, I guarantee you, I'll give you my house, you're not catching a fish on these steps. Because there aren't any fish here. So you can try all day long. You can wear yourself out. You can talk to God. You can speak in tongues. You can pray about it. You're not catching a fish right here. There ain't any fish. So why on earth would you do that? Now, I made that example for all of you to look at me exactly the way you're looking at me. What in the world is he talking? What happened to him? Tomas is looking at him. He's like, he was over here cutting trees down the other day. I think one hit him in the head. My first point, I only want to make two. It makes no sense at all to fish in a place where there aren't any fish. If you fish the same spot for years and you haven't caught anything, you may need a new spot. Part of the reason, it's not the only reason, but part of the reason the church stays stagnant is because we fish for men in the exact same old polluted pond we've been fishing in for 50 years. Let me be real plain. You're inviting the same people to church that you've been inviting since Nixon was president. You know why they're not here? Because they don't want to be. It's not all the reasons they give you. I would come if this, you need to start looking some of those people in your lives in the face and say, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but you're lying. You're not in church because you don't want to be. And the reason we're not catching anything is because we're still casting at them. You ever go fishing and see the fish? There used to be a place back in, well, it's in between Niles and Middle Ridge. It's called Wilder Pond. I used to fish there all the time. My grandpa owned farmland right there, so when he would go farm, I'd go behind there. They had so many fish, it was ridiculous. My buddy caught an alligator gar in there. It was the greatest. We didn't have any. We thought we caught a dinosaur. We took it home, put it in the bathtub. His dad come home. He's like, what in the world? We're like, dude, we caught a dinosaur. He's like, get out of my bathtub. But they would have bass that would spawn, and you could see them. Like, I'm standing on the shore. The bass is where Tomas is. I'm talking big. And I would take my lure and cast it right, like hit them, right on their head. Put it in front of their mouth. Put a worm on it. Let it hang down. Touch them with the worm. Run the worm over their head. Never catch them. That was so, oh, that'd make you so mad. You would question everything about your manhood. We do the same thing in our witnessing for God. We beg, we plead, we go to the same source nonstop. They haven't bitten in 15 years. We walk around discouraged. The church sits half empty because we're trying to catch fish where there aren't any fish to catch. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus was not a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman by trade. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were fishermen by trade. That was their job. They were successful at it. They were business owners. Not only did they have their ship, they had other ships. They were somewhat wealthy because they knew how to fish. They knew how to read maps and be out on the water. They were experienced fishermen. But in the scripture text we read, it says, now when he had left speaking, Jesus says to Peter, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. And Peter answers Jesus. He doesn't try to be rude, but he says, Master, we fished all night long. We've already fished. They're at the shore cleaning up after having fished all night. Anybody that knows fishing knows you catch more fish at night than you do during the day. They feed more at night. They fished all night and they didn't catch a single thing. They got skunked. They didn't even get a sheep head. They didn't even catch a carp. Nothing. They didn't catch one fish. But Simon says, nevertheless, because you said it, Jesus, I'll let down my net. So they launched back out. They let down their net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. They beckoned unto their partners. They had so many fish in the net, they had to call their partners to bring their boat over. They filled up two whole boats with fish so heavy that both ships began to sink. Here are fishermen that fished all night and didn't catch a thing. Jesus says, let down your nets. They obey what the man of God says to them, and they catch so many fish that their ships almost sink. Peter is so moved by this. Now, let's remember who Peter is. Peter doesn't change all throughout Scripture until he gets the Holy Ghost. Peter's loud. He's outspoken. He's brash. He's bold. Peter's the first one to jump up in people's faces. Peter will cut your ear off. Peter will cuss you out. That's who Peter is. Peter was that way the whole time. He was that way this time. Peter looks at Jesus after seeing this miracle, falls down on his face, and says, "Get away from me, Jesus. I don't even want, you don't even need to be, I'm such a bad, I don't even want you around me. Because I'm a sinful man. I'm no good. I am not a good person, God. I don't want your blessing. I don't want this. I'm not anything. Don't even bother with me. Go to somebody that's churchified." And Jesus says, "Peter, don't worry. Because from this day forward, you're going to catch men." And he calls him right there. Peter becomes one of the most powerful voices of the first century church from an encounter with Jesus over fishing. But Jesus told him, "Peter, you got to go fish where the fish are." The expert advice had fished all night. The experience had fished all night. The years in the church had fished all night. And they didn't catch a thing. And Jesus said, "If you'll drop down your net right now, you'll catch a great draught of fish." So they put their net where the fish were. I want to talk to you today. I don't want to be long and I don't want to be loud, but I want to get the church to understand something. The second point, and this is the point I want to kind of talk about to close with. We, as the church, who in here is a member of the church? Who in here believes? Who's a Jesus believer? I'm not saying you got a signed membership. You're a Christian. You believe in Jesus Christ. We, as the church, need a bigger net mentality. We have suffered long enough with this single pole, cast a lure and retrieve mentality. What we need is a huge, big net mentality. What's the difference? When you cast a net, you just accept whatever you pull in. When you take that pole, you're doing what I did, and you're going after that one fish. You see it, and you're casting for it. Jesus didn't tell Peter to go out, launch out into the deep, and cast a pole. Another place he did. Do you remember when they had to pay their taxes? Jesus said, "Go down to the sea and cast in a hook. And the first fish you pull up, open its mouth, and there'll be money in it." And that's exactly what happened. But when Jesus was telling him about catching men, he said, "Cast out your net for a draught, a large amount." Our mentality in the church has got to change from casting for one fish to casting a net. This house ought to be overflowingly full. That's what God wants. He wants a full house. He wants a full net. The reason we don't have it is because we, the fishermen, are trying to control which fish we catch. That's not the will of God. God said, "Cast out the net and take in the draught." In that, you're going to pull up some sheephead. You're going to pull up some gobies. You're going to pull up some of those Japanese carp that fly all over the place. You're going to catch Asian carp. You're going to catch a whole bunch of stuff that maybe you weren't really looking for. But God said, "Cast out the net. Cast a big net." The church's mindset has got to change from "us four and no more" to that every man that we come in contact with is catchable. There ought to be more people clapping their hands. There ought to be more people saying amen. We need to fish where the fish are. It's time for the church to reel in your poles out of those stinking, stagnant waters that you've been fishing in for 50 years. Take your pole back to the house, put it up in the garage where it belongs, and grab a net and go out into the harvest and cast the net and pull in whatever you get a hold of. Just like the fishing example, I don't care how good of a farmer you are, your harvest is terrible if you don't leave the house. You have to actually go out into the field to reap a harvest. You can sow all day long, but if you don't go back into the field, you'll never harvest anything. You gotta go where the fish are. Doesn't it aggravate you? Does it ever aggravate you as a fisherman? And I know it does, so don't lie. Don't get struck dead in church. You ever go fishing at a spot and everybody's catching fish except you? Okay, do you do what I do? I'm fishing on the shore, and I'm casting right where Sister Brenda is. And I ain't catching nothing. I ain't catching nothing. And Sean is casting where Kim is and nailing them every cast. Here's what your pastor does. As soon as Sean hooks his next fish and starts reeling it in, I reel in and I cast where Kim is. And he looks down at me, and if he's bigger than me, he comes down to fight me. If he's smaller than me, I'm like, because I think he knows where they're at. Does it ever aggravate you to be fishing in a fishing spot and everybody's catching fish but you? Why doesn't that same dander get riled up in you when we sit in a church in a city that has other churches that are growing exponentially and we're not? Blessed quietness. Blessed quietness. You can tell me all day long, well, nobody in Ashtabula wants to go to church. That's a lie. That's you justifying your unwillingness to cast the net. Amen, Brother Mike. The fish are here. Literally, if you go in Lake Erie, the fish are really here. Walk in Lakeshore Park. You can't get a boat in there. They pull the trailers up on the hill. They're everywhere. They pull the trailers down where the car show goes. They have to stop people from going out because there's so many literal fish that we had to leave Ashtabula Harbor or down at Lakeshore Park and go to some place off of West Avenue and find some dock to go out into the Ashtabula River to fish one day. Not because there's not enough fish. There's more fish. They have to limit you because you'll catch so many, people just be out there. That's why I asked if he had the license. Because when you get into perch season, you're allowed to catch 30, and people are like, I catch 30. Yeah, they ain't going to count. Catch 40, catch 50, catch 60. Hurry up and get off the lake. But I'm talking spiritually. Just like I get aggravated when Sean's catching all the fish and I ain't catching anything, doesn't it get your dander up when we as apostolics have the truth? We have the plan of salvation. We have the doctrine. And yet right in the same pond, there's others catching all kinds of fish, and we aren't catching anything. I'm going to talk to you for a few moments if you'll listen to me. We need a bigger mentality. We need a net mentality. We need a mentality where we're going to do so much outreach for the Lord that we're going to need another ship to come help us. We're going to have so many people that we may need to tell a couple, we may need to put on another service because there's not enough room for you. That's the mentality that we just read. Peter dropped down a net. The fish were so many, he had to call his partners over so they could put some in their boat, and both boats got full. Both ships. We need to fish where the fish are. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the last portion of scripture that I'm going to read about, and I want to talk specifically about our mentality as a church. I'm going to pick up and start reading at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and start reading at verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Corinth was a very, very prosperous town, a very wealthy place. There was a lot of trade that went through Corinth, and they had a large established church, but they had all kinds of issues. If you ever read 1 and 2 Corinthians and Paul and his epistles to the churches in Corinth, you find out they had big issues going on. They had one issue, and that's what I'm going to use it just to show you the point. They had an issue where a man thought it was okay to sleep with his mother. It's spelled out in Scripture. So I'm giving you a little groundwork of what Paul's talking to, but he's at the speaking to the Corinthian church, and he writes this: "What is my reward then?" That's verse 18. Let me see if I'm in the wrong book. I think. Yes, I am. You'll notice I'm using my old Bible today, and some of the pages come out because I've read it so much. So let me get to verse 18. "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Verse 19, Paul writes, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." The Apostle Paul says, "I made myself a servant to all." One of the things the United Pentecostal Church has gotten right in their ministerial licensing process is they hammer away the point that if we're ever going to be successful, it needs to be through what they call servant leadership. You lead by serving. Paul said, "I make myself a servant unto all that I might gain the more." How many of you would be willing to do that? I want to be plain what I'm talking about. Some of you have been talking to members of your family. Some of you have been witnessing to people that you care about, friends, neighbors, loved ones, coworkers, and you're not getting through at all. Have you ever considered making yourself their servant? Blessed quietness. Well, they're not saved. I'm glad you said that. I want to keep going. Verse 20. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." I'm going to stop right here, and I want to make a point. This church will fill up quickly when we decide to put our pride aside. Amen. I know where I'm preaching today. I'm going to preach it. When we put our ideas aside, when we put our opinions aside, and we become servants, slaves to the world. Preacher, what are you preaching? What you got to do is you got to speak in tongues more. That'll draw them. Let me ask you something. Let me see your track record. How's that working for you? We got to teach them. The first thing we got to do is we got to go out and we got to knock doors and we got to tell them how much sin they're living in. Let me ask you something. How much is that working for you? Paul wrote, to the weak, I went and showed them how strong I am. To those that struggle with things, I went on their front porch and said, well, if you'd get serious with God, you heathens. To those that believe in the Trinity, I went straight up to them and I said, you're going to go straight to hell because the Bible says that no man can call the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you something. I'm being dead serious. How's your method working? Right down to where the rubber meets the road and you can get mad at me. Who's the last soul you won to the Lord? You, not the church. Not the visitor that showed up. I'm talking about the person that you won to God. Who's the last person you laid hands upon and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking to hear myself talk. Start yelling names out. If we caught a 32-inch walleye, we'd name it. We'd have it stuffed. It'd be on top of our television. You know how I know that? My uncle that got me hooked on fishing, he had a pet, a stuffed walleye named Walter that sat on his TV till the day he died. He'd tell you stories about it. He would talk to it. We all got testimonies from 1984. Could you imagine if we had to live off the fish we eat? I'll tell you a funny story. My uncle, my aunt, she's still alive. She's going to be 100 years old. He passed on. They used to go fishing. When he retired, they went fishing all the time. They lived in Austintown, but they would go to Lake Erie 3-4 times a week. He was cheapskate. I remember fishing with him one time. I pulled this walleye in. He reached down in the walleye's mouth after we caught him and then whacked him in the head with the fish whacker and pulled the little portion of Nightcrawler out of his mouth to put it back on the hook. He's like, we don't waste worms. I was like, you couldn't even let him get the last, like you killed him. He couldn't even get the last little bit of enjoyment. We don't waste worms. That's the kind of guy it was. So they're out fishing one day, and they're catching them. And for those of you that are walleye fishermen, you've probably called them this too. You catch walleye that are legal limit, but they're not very big. They're just kind of short, and they're kind of straight. We called them cigars. They look about like a cigar. And she had caught one that was about a quarter of an inch longer than the limit that was allowed. So it was legal. She's reeling it in, and he's like, how's that one up there, honey? She's like, it ain't nothing to write home about. He said, we ain't out here writing no letters. Put it in the bucket. Because they were going to eat what they caught. Now, I want to tell you something. Now, I'm not going to do this because I'm not that kind of preacher. And I'm never going to be that way, so don't think that I am. I know a minister, a very successful minister of the gospel, UPCI, that they do an outreach service once a quarter, once a month, once something. It's scheduled, and it's an outreach service where you have to bring guests in, new visitors. At the beginning of the service, when he stands up at the platform, the first thing he does is he looks through the crowd, and if brother, or I'm just using you as an example. If Sister Brenda shows up at the service and she did not bring anybody, he asks her to leave. Because she hasn't gotten the point of what the church is trying to do. If you show up to the service and haven't put the work in, so you didn't bring anybody, he asks you to leave. You shouldn't be like that, Brother Mike. The Bible told us that from this point forward, thou shalt catch men. Our mission is to not go and by Sunday go to meeting clothes and get all dressed up and come into the church and cut a shine once in a while and get our goosebump machine feeling real good and then leave and think that we've done something for the Lord. The Bible called us to serve the kingdom of God. We need to catch, be fishers of men. This house needs to be full. And God gave us example after example after example. So the Apostle Paul said, I make myself a servant to all men so that I might gain some. He never expected to catch every single one he went after, but he said, even knowing that, I'm still going to serve them. If we would leave this building with a mentality that we are going to go into our community, so we're going to see people that we know, that we might have went to school with, that we might work with, that do not go to this church, and we're going to serve them, I'm telling you, with no chance of any exception, this house would begin to fill up quickly. The reason we don't do it, I wonder if we really want this place full. The greatest female saint of God I ever knew was my mother. She's passed on now. She was the heartbeat of our family. She was the heartbeat of our church. She never wanted recognition. She always had an apron on. Always, no matter what we were doing, she was always serving in the kitchen. She would get mad at my dad if my dad asked her to say anything. Pastor appreciation, she would always leave. She always taught the little kids in Sunday school. How, I don't know, because she beat us like government mules at home. I don't know how she was able to deal with those kids. Maybe she beat them. I don't know. That was old school church. You were loud back then. She told my brother and I, and she meant it, and I'm not speaking ill of her. I would say this if she was still alive. My brother and I, after my father passed away, we took over the church. And we started doing a lot of outreach into the community. And it started to work. We changed a lot of things. And my mom came to us and said, I don't want to go to a big church. I like the feeling of a small church. If that's your mentality, that is what you will always have. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I had a minister look me right in the face one time because I was seeking God for my ministry. I was seeking God. I was fasting. I was crying. I was pouring out my heart to God because I wanted to know what God wanted me to do. And I had a preacher. Thank God for preachers that will look you right in the face and tell you the truth. He looked me right in the face and he said, stop asking God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet. Quit asking God to fill up the church if you're not willing to throw a net. If you're not willing to get on the boat and do the work and clean the nets and pull them in and work with them when they get here. Because let me tell you something, you cast a big net, we're going to catch all kinds of fish. You ever see when they pull commercial nets in and they're trying to catch tuna or they're trying to catch shrimp and they caught a shark? Or they caught a jellyfish, or they caught an octopus. There's that one guy. I always feel bad for him because you know he's not a citizen. That's the only reason he's on the boat, because they tell him, if you don't do it, he got to get in there and grab lionfish and puffer fish, get stung and all that kind of stuff. When you cast a net, let me tell you what's going to happen in this church. We're going to have to start teaching some Bible studies. We're going to have to start going to people's homes. we're going to have to be willing to start smelling like cigarette smoke. We're going to have to maybe go down to the police station and pick some people up. Because the police are going to call and say, hey, one of your members is down here hammered, drunk. So we're going to have to be willing to go down and say, you know what, I'll vouch for him. We're going to have to go into some homes and sit down at some tables where some ladies have some black eyes because their husband let them have it. We're going to have to start to love on some kids that don't know their parents. We're going to have to start putting our arm around and working through some issues of some kids and maybe some adults that never got through it as kids that didn't have anybody that loved them but had somebody that touched them. We're going to have to start to be able to sit down with some men that are addicted to pornography and be able to talk to them and be able to become all things to all men. Now, don't you dare twist Brother Mike's words and say that I just said we have to watch pornography with them. That's not what I said at all. We have to be willing to say, you know what? I know what you're going through. There's a God, and I'm here to help you right now. I'm not going to put you on a six-month program and come back when you've got it beaten. I'm here every step of the way to walk through it with you. We're going to have to start to deal with some real issues, because when you cast a big net, you catch everything that's out in the water. So I want this church's mindset to change. Every person that you come in contact with in the city of Ashtabula is a fish that we should be trying to catch right now. It might mean we don't call the church van to pick them up. It might mean you look over at your passenger seat and clean it off and throw some of them stupid Starbucks bags away and let them ride with you. From this day forward, thou shalt catch men. And to catch fish, you've got to fish where the fish are. I watched it happen this year. I've done outreach for our block party for 2 years. I've only been the pastor here for about 8 months, but I've done outreach for our block party for 2 years. Last year's block party, I did outreach. I did outreach with Sister Jasmine, with Brother Matthew, with Brother David, with my wife, with the sisters. They would come put the bags together out on Wednesdays, and then the younger ones would walk these neighborhoods. I've walked all these neighborhoods. I didn't know anything about Ashtabula. I still don't know that much about Ashtabula. I know how to get home. That's it. And I know how to go where there ain't any fish. I already told you that. Fished the whole lake, ain't caught a thing yet. I did catch a smallmouth. I did outreach this year. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to do outreach differently. And it's going to get you and me completely out of our comfort zone. I said, first of all, I'm not the most outgoing person to begin with. I'm not very approachable looking. Can I get a loud amen?
I was just joking.
That's the loudest amen I've ever gotten this entire church ever. My face is not approachable. My demeanor is not approachable. I told my wife, I said, I'm not just doing outreach to do it. We're going to make connections with people. So I said, what do we want for the block party? She said, we want kids. We want to grow the kids ministry. I said, then we have to go where kids are. There'd be absolutely no reason to do outreach for the block party at a local nursing home. So we went every Sunday for a month to the playgrounds as soon as church was over. My wife every week yelled at me. She yelled at me today because we're going to do something after service today in Canton for Move the Mission. And I said, well, she's like, what are you going to wear? I was like, I'm going to take my jacket and my tie off. Because that's what I wear. So for outreach, I would take my jacket and my tie off. So I'd walk with my dress pants. My wife would take different clothes. And she'd be like, You're not approachable. You look like a preacher. I'm like, well, I am. It's like, you know how weird you look walking through a playground with a box of blow pops at 50 years old looking like you look, saying, hey, would you like a sucker? She's like, people don't want to come to our church. They think you're a pedo. But I said, we're going to make connection. So we literally just started walking up to people. How are you? Good. They'll start talking back. Hey, is it okay if we give the kids some suckers? Well, hold on. What do you? We're from a local church. Here's an invite. We're having a block party. We'd love to have you come out. Everybody's welcome. As a matter of fact, if you want another one, you want to give it to your neighbor, have them come out. You know who we met doing that? We met many of your family members that told me, hey, my so-and-so goes to that church. I'm like, really? And then we had real good conversation because I said, what do you think about them? Are they the reason that you don't come to church? And we had probably 100 at least. I have the list in my office right now. I reached back out to them via text, phone call. Every visitor that came and filled it out, I reach out to them. Could you imagine? Do you have the number right now, or do you wait till later to count it? There's 55 people here today. That's including kids. That's including my son that goes. There's 55 people here. Could you imagine the impact on this church if 35 of us said, you know what? I'm going to do what that preacher's saying. I'm going to start fishing. And I'm going to go fish where the fish are. I don't feel comfortable doing it. I don't know how to talk to people. I'm an introvert. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it with all you introverts. You're introverted when it comes to church. You're completely extroverted when I see you doing other stuff. You're the life of the party. Can you invite somebody to church? Well, shucks, sir. I don't know what I'd be saying. I'm being serious. What do you think would happen if 30 of us said, you know what, each Sunday, I'm going to go where the fish are. I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to walk down. You want to know when it's happening? Lakeshore Park is having crafts in the park. I think it's this week. How many of you like crafts? There should be more hands up, you liars. How many of you like fair food? How many of you like concessions? How many of you like hot apple dumplings? That's what's at craft shows. They only get you selling you a $69 wreath that you can hang on your door. They'll also sell you a $12 caramel apple. Lakeshore Park's going to be full. You know what's coming up 2 weekends after that? The Lakeshore Park rib burn-off. Who in here likes ribs? Who in here likes to eat meat? Who in here doesn't? Come up with the other people with the weather. You need to repent. Meat is good. That's why God gave us these teeth to just eat it. You think it doesn't work? I'm almost done. I just went to men's conference. The largest men's ministry in the state of Ohio is in Barberton, Ohio. They had their men's ministry director come speak to us. Their old men's ministry director is now the international men's ministry director. His name is Paul Paymer. He's in charge of all of North America. He had his men's ministry director come and speak to the men about how to start a men's ministry. Here was their first thing they ever did. He said, I'm an IT guy by design. He goes, that's what I do for a living. He's like, numbers fascinate me. He said, so when Paul asked me to be the men's ministry director, I asked him a question. I said, how many men do we have? And he couldn't answer it. He said, so I knew immediately my first job was to figure out just how many men we had. He said, so here's what I did. He goes, my first idea was I like to smoke meat. Any of you guys like smoked meat? Any of you guys have a smoker? Any of you guys master smoker people? You buy the pellets and do all that stuff. Any of you guys put up like YouTube videos of yourself? I got a preacher friend from Virginia. Some of you know him. His name's Daniel Walter. He's a knucklehead. He smokes meat all day long. But he'll go out and he'll take his hand on video, and you see his hand come down. He grabs the lid and he just lifts it up just enough so you can see the meat. And he's like, that's all you get to see. Come back later for more. And he gets thousands of views. But this gentleman said, we started smoking meat. Our men's ministry is called Holy Smokes. He said, we don't talk about church. We don't talk about families. We don't talk about issues. We don't talk about anything. He said, the whole point of our men's ministry is we smoke meat and we eat meat. And he said, within about 3 years, they have about 500 men that show up to smoke meat and eat meat. He said, out of that, we started a group. Our pastor said, we need men that know how to pray. So they started a men's prayer group. Guess what time they have prayer? They have prayer Monday through Friday, 5:30 in the morning at the church. The pastor walked up to the men and said, if you're not going to be there every single day, I don't want you to come at all. And some men said, I can't commit to that. He said, well, then I don't want you. He said, now they have about 120 men every day of the week that come to the church and start their day with prayer. He said the key was they needed to see the members buying in to the vision. We became all things to all men. You know how that works in real life? Even if you don't like smoking meat as a man, you show up to Holy Smokes and you sit and talk. Even if you don't enjoy the music of a certain generation, when it starts to sing, you stand to your feet and worship. Even if you don't like kids like me, when the children do something, you get behind it, you support it, you learn their names, you put their arm around them, you help them. When we do outreach, even though you're introverted, you say, you know what? My feelings don't matter. I make myself a servant to all people. And I'm here to tell you, if 30 of us would make up our mind today that from this day forward, we catch men, this net isn't gonna be big enough for the amount of fish we catch. So I'm done. Where's my 30? If you want to be part of it, I want you to come to the front. I'm going to stand right here. If you want this church full, I want you to come to the front. If you don't, I completely understand. I told you, this is for everybody. If we catch enough fish, they're going to have somewhere to go. We have 30 people, and we catch 150 fish. Some of them are going to have to end up in Conneaut. Some of them are going to have to go to Jefferson. We're not going to have the room just like they didn't in the Bible. We're going to have to call for partnerships. We're going to have to call for help. We're going to have to fill up all kinds of houses. It makes no sense for us. Now listen, I did this for a visual for a reason. The church right now, today, the last day of August of 2025, the church in Ashtabula, Ohio, the Pentecostal Community Church, is a perfect representation of what has been done in this place up until this point. We're the size we are because of what we've done. We're the strength we are because of what we're done. I'm not saying this as a critique. I'm saying this as a matter of fact. We are a product, a snapshot, a visual of the decisions that we've made. We have 57 people here today. This church easily could seat 96 with six adults on each pew. So what I'm asking you that have chosen to make a decision to catch men is I want us to go from this point forward. I'm not worried of leaving those things that are behind. I want us to press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. His high calling was we are to catch men. If you haven't caught a man in a while, and I'm not talking about you ladies, don't be out catching men. I'm talking about do something different. Reel in that bobber and worm and take a net and cast it out. If you invite one person a week, I want you to invite 60 people a week. I want you to go and make yourself servant to all men. To the weak, become weak. Cry with somebody. To those that are strong, become strong. To those that don't know Jesus, let them see Jesus in you. And when we do, and when this house is full, God never called him to clean the fish. He just said, catch them. Let them come in the way they are right now. Let's love them. Let's encourage them. Let's welcome them. And the longer they stay around and they start to see how we operate and they start to get used to us and they realize that this is a place of safety, we'll start to see the cigarettes go away. We'll start to see the wife beating go away. We'll start to see the tithes and offerings start to come in. We'll start to see the cussing go away. But we've got to catch them first. We've got to go catch them first. We've got to fish where the fish are. And if we do, I can't wait. I can't wait to look out and see octopuses, jellyfish, and crabs just like me, old Krabby like me, Squidward-looking dudes like me, SpongeBob SquarePants, whatever we pull up off the bottom of the lake, and God fills this house up, and then the Holy Ghost starts cleaning them all up. Because we fished where the fish are. If you want to be a part of this, the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. We do this on Wednesday nights. We're going to do it right now. I want everybody up around here, make whatever you can call a circle. It's probably going to look like an amoeba or an oval because of how many people we have. But I want the circle to not be broken. I want us to latch hands right now. We're going to figure out how many of you are good at geometry because there's a big gap right here. I want every person to be holding hands with somebody. Look at this. God, send us a math teacher. Send us an art teacher. You can pop in. I want to give these guys all the time that they need because they've got families too, and it's Labor Day weekend, and I appreciate you coming up, but we're not even going to sing a worship song. Some of you that come on Wednesday night know what we're about to do. Some of you that don't, this is going to be the first time you've ever heard this. Every Wednesday night when we conclude Bible study, we sing this song as a group. Go ahead, hop in there. Get in there, introverts. That's what the musicians are always, trust me, I used to be on the worship team. We were always happy to stay worshiping because then we didn't have to get involved in the other stuff. So I believe this with everything in me. If we'll work together, the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, and that could be sistren, to dwell together in unity. If we all get the mindset, could you imagine the net that we could cast? These are your brothers and sisters. These are powerful men and women of God. Think of the net that we could cast. Think how much of a net we could all pull in if we all pulled together. So we're going to sing this song together. We're going to sing it twice, and then you're dismissed. And I hope you have the best Labor Day you've ever had. I hope you eat bratwurst and all kinds of worst, and I hope it gets on your shirt. I hope you get to take a nap. I hope everything that you want comes true. And I hope that this message stirs you so that this week, it's the start of a new month. It's the start of a new semester. It's the start of a new direction for the church. You say, you know what? I've got 29 or 30 other people pulling right behind me. I'm going to cast my net today. I'm going to cast my net today, and let's watch this place full up. You ready? I'm going to sing you a song. If you're from Wednesday, sing with me, because I'm not a good singer. It'll take you one time through to learn this song. On the second time through, I want you to do this. We'll show you. Ready? Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together in love. Now swing them nets. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Work them shoulders out. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together in love. Before you leave, love one another. Minister to one another. Strengthen your hands for this good work. I believe God's going to do something. Thank you for your attention. You are dismissed. Take some time in fellowship one with another.